You dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
Hey! Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Thursday, June 5th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And yes, I pushed record today. We lost yesterday's show. Lame act on my point. I forgot to push record. And it was our second anniversary show. Of all the shows that I had to mess up, it had to be the second anniversary show. My apologies to all the podcast listeners out there for failing to record yesterday, but we're on for today and you'll get a new podcast and, well, you're listening to it now. Today's show, we will be featuring Sean McAllister. He's the executive director of Dallas-Fort Worth Normal, and they are putting on the Texas Regional Normal Conference this weekend in Fort Worth. So we will not have a live show tomorrow. I apologize for that. Yes, I know. Everybody reacts quite harshly when we don't have a show. I apologize for that, but we'll have a replay show on tomorrow. And Saturday and Sunday, I will be at that Texas conference in Fort Worth getting all sorts of great footage, which will include Jody Emery, the Princess of Pot, and it'll probably be her last American appearance for legalization with her husband still in prison. Mark gets out in less than a month. We're looking forward to that. Also, really excited to meet in person Kinky Friedman. If you don't know Kinky Friedman, he's a Texas politician and musician, and I revere him for both of those activities. I got to interview him a few weeks ago, and I'll finally get to meet him in person. So check out the footage of that on next week's shows. Also joining us here from our remote studio out there in Colorado, we've got our own Priscilla Seibin joining us. How you doing, Priscilla?
Great. How's everyone?
Doing fantastic. And has weather improved for you since yesterday?
Yeah, it did. It's nice and sunny out. But we usually get that little afternoon sprinkle keeping everything green around here, if you know what I mean.
That's a beautiful thing. All right. We'll talk to Priscilla again in our 420 radio news. That comes up right after this first break. And in the headlines today, Republicans in Texas are closer to embracing medical marijuana. Arkansas is closer to legalization. Seattle police did something unheard of three years ago. It's just, I can't wait to tell this story. Men's sperm may be in danger from marijuana smoking. Multiple sclerosis patients will be helped by cannabis. We already knew that. And marijuana is less addictive than alcohol and tobacco. Who would have thought? In fact, after we get to those headlines in the Radical Rant today, I'm going to take an extra long look at that idea of marijuana addiction and marijuana abuse and show you how they fabricate some of these statistics about marijuana addiction by making the definition so broad that anybody who smokes pot regularly would be considered an addict. Also on today's show, we're going to talk a little bit more in behind the headlines about Maureen Dowd's marijuana edible overdose. A lot of people are weighing in on that now, and we've got some really good information for people out there who may be new to marijuana, maybe new to legalization and planning a trip to Colorado on what you should and shouldn't do when it comes to marijuana edibles. Also, we'll be here for hour two, Toker Talk Radio. We'll be taking your calls at 971-533-7111. You can offer your opinions, comments, questions, anything you want to talk about, the lines are open. And again, we will not have a live show tomorrow on Friday, so Priscilla will have the day off, and I will be in an airplane making my way to Fort Worth, Texas. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org, the internet's best home for marijuana news, information, and interviews. We're back with the news right after this.
Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. The Marijuana Business Association, or MJBA, are proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show. It is the mission of the MJBA to establish integrity and legitimacy, create common market standards, provide market intelligence, and develop best ethical business practices for participants in the emerging legal marijuana industry, including commercial hemp, medical marijuana, and recreational marijuana for adults. Learn more about the Marijuana Business Association and visit MJBA.net to join today. That's MJBA.net. The New Viper Hour, the best of early 20th century reefer jazz, blues, and swing at 5 and 8 Pacific Time every Monday on 420radio.org. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Priscilla Simon.
All right, this is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, June 5th, 2014. The Republican Party of Texas just got one step closer to endorsing medical marijuana as part of the official party platform. The Temporary Platform Committee of the Texas GOP passed an amendment to their proposed 2014 platform endorsing the right of doctors to, quote, prescribe marijuana as a controlled narcotic, end quote. Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition, or RAMP, which is the activist group funded by Ann Lee, the mother of 2010's California Proposition 19 Chief Petitioner Richard Lee, said the narrow vote by this conservative committee represents the GOP's principles of individual liberty and medical privacy. RAMP's assistant executive director, Zoe Russell, told Breitbart, Texas, that, quote, "Our belief is that the doctor-patient relationship should be private, and if marijuana can be palliative, it should be allowed to be prescribed," end quote. Ann Lee and RAMP will be well represented at this weekend's Texas Regional Normal Conference in Fort Worth, which features Texas political figure Kinky Friedman, Canadian activist Jody Emery, and 420's own Radical Russ Belville. We will have highlights of the event for you on next week's shows.
Oh, yes, we will. And I am really looking forward to getting down there to Fort Worth. The last Texas Regional Normal Conference that I went to was just, you know, was incredibly well attended. Both the social events that they have, which are a lot of fun, and the actual conference itself. So many people will be there. The event schedule is up on dfwnormal.org. I'm speaking. I'm also going to be moderating a couple of panels, and I'm going to be hosting the 420 Radio multiple choice drug test. So we're going to play a little Jeopardy, a little 420 Jeopardy while we're there. We'll probably have some cool stickers and prizes to give away as well. Speaking of cool stickers and stuff, check out 420 Radio Shop. Just go to 420radio.org/shop, and we've got a new shipment of the 420 Radio lapel pin, or I'm sorry, the Russ Belville Show lapel pin. If you'd like one of those, all proceeds from the pin sales benefit 420radio.org and keep us on the air.
The Arkansas Attorney General has approved the ballot title of an initiative to legalize marijuana in 2014. Under the initiative known as the Arkansas Hemp and Cannabis Amendment, quote, "cultivation, manufacturing, distribution, sale, possession, and the use of the cannabis plant and all products derived from the cannabis plant are permitted," end quote. The deadline for turning in over 78,000 registered voters' signatures on the initiative petition is July 7th, just a month away. But initiative author Robert Reed claims he has 300,000 people ready to begin gathering signatures immediately throughout the state. Under current Arkansas law, possession of any amount of marijuana or paraphernalia is a misdemeanor with a potential 1 year in jail and $2,500 fine. Possession of a quarter pound or more, delivery of a half ounce or more, or possession of growing equipment is a felony subject to 6 years imprisonment and a $10,000 fine. That delivery felony can be proven if the subject also possesses a scale, a gun, two other drugs, or marijuana in separate baggies.
Wow, yeah. Good news, I guess, coming out of Arkansas here, that they're moving right to legalization. This is not a medical thing. They are going to put legalization on the ballot, and I'm hoping more states take this strategy as well, and I'll discuss that more at the conference this weekend. But I am a little nervous here. 78,000 signatures in Arkansas just a month from now, actually a month and 2 days from now. That's going to be a little hard to put together, but if they really do have enough signature gatherers to go out and get those signatures, it will really put Arkansas on the map as far as voting on marijuana reform. I don't know how sanguine I am on the chances of it passing this time around, but just getting it on the ballot is a major accomplishment because it forces people to have to discuss the issue. And yeah. These laws in Arkansas, Priscilla, oh my God, this thing about possession with intent to deliver, right? You have to have a quarter pound before it's a felony for just possession. But if you have a half ounce or more in separate baggies, you know, maybe you got one strain of indica, one strain of sativa, tough luck. That's possession with intent to deliver, and that's a felony. That's amazing. If you have a Weight Watchers scale upstairs for your diet that you use to weigh things, they're going to consider that a scale for weighing marijuana, and that's possession with intent to deliver. If you think you have a Second Amendment, you don't have a Second Amendment if you've got marijuana. If you've got gun with a half ounce of marijuana, that's possession with intent to deliver. You're doing felony time. And two other drugs. This could be you have a pain pill that you got from a friend that's not under prescription, and you have a tab of acid. Boom, that's possession with intent to distribute the marijuana, and you're going to do felony time. It's ridiculous the ways that they find to turn possession into something that is much more serious than just possession.
So Seattle police uncovered the largest marijuana growing operation in the department's history and arrested nobody. Responding to complaints by neighbors about, quote, an overwhelming smell of fresh marijuana, the Seattle police searched two homes and a warehouse, finding 2,663 marijuana plants and 86 pounds of processed marijuana. The owner claimed the grows were all part of a medical marijuana collective, which are only allowed 48 plants collectively for 10 people under Washington law. However, police made no arrests in the case and actually allowed the grower to keep the 45 plants at each house and the warehouse that he was allowed for medical collective grows for a total of 135 plants. In a press release, Seattle police explained, quote, detectives were interested only in bringing the operation back under the limits of state law, and in addition to leaving plants and equipment at the scenes, also opted not to book anyone involved in the operation into jail, end quote.
Wow. All right. So remember all those guys from No on I-502 a couple of years ago that kept saying, oh, it's only an ounce. They're only legalizing an ounce. That doesn't help anybody. It's only an ounce. It's just an ounce. It's not going to help. Well, folks, that just an ounce turned into the state recognizing that it wasn't worth their time to try to prosecute for marijuana and directly led to these Seattle police wanting to turn the other way and not pay attention to thousands of marijuana plants being grown right under their noses. Can you imagine that prior to I-502, the cops would have found over 2,600 plants and 86 pounds of marijuana and not arrested someone, not taken someone to jail? And now not only not arresting the guy, but leaving him 135 plants. That's a combination of the medical law. That's a combination of I-502. That's a combination of Seattle's lowest law enforcement priority. And it just goes to show any positive reforms in marijuana law can often reverberate much greater than what the actual reforms are telling us.
Exactly. Well said. A new study in the journal Human Reproduction suggests that marijuana may indeed affect the size and shape of men's sperm. Whoa. The study tracked over 2,000 men from 14 fertility clinics in the United Kingdom and surveyed them on their lifestyle and medical history. To their surprise, researchers discovered that cigarettes and alcohol showed no effect on male fertility, but cannabis use was the only factor they found that did. There were reliable data on the sperm of 1,970 of the men and found that 318 of them had problems with sperm morphology, defined as a sample where less than 4% of the sperm are of normal size and shape. Of those 318 men, they were more likely to have abnormal sperm if they smoked marijuana within the past 3 months. However, researchers also found twice the likelihood of abnormal sperm when those men ejaculated in the summer months. Researchers also noted that the number one factor affecting male fertility is testicle size. Dr. Alan Pacey, lead author of the study, explained, quote, "If you're blessed with big testicles, you'll produce more sperm," end quote.
Man, it's too bad that we've taken copywritten music out of this first hour, because there's a certain AC/DC song that I really want to play right now. Priscilla, this study, the first thing that I noticed about this is when they said that the men who had the sperm problems, less than 4% of their sperm were of normal size and shape. So that means to be normal, you only need 5% of your sperm of normal size and shape. Like, we expect 95% of the little wigglers to be, you know, mutated and messed up. I don't know how that works. But whenever I hear these stories about, you know, marijuana may affect male fertility, the first thing I think is, you say that like it's a bad thing. And the second thing I think is that Willie Nelson has, what, 9 kids? Tommy Chong has 7 kids? Bob Marley had 11 kids. I mean, if there's an effect at all here, it can't be very much of an effect, because if marijuana use really did seriously affect male fertility, that would be counter-evolutionary, wouldn't it? Wouldn't we have evolved to not use marijuana? Wouldn't the early 40, 50,000 years ago mankind that were using cannabis have less of an evolutionary chance to pass their genes along than the ones who weren't using cannabis? It seems to me that the cannabis plant evolved to match our endocannabinoid system, and it wouldn't be in its evolutionary favor to make us not able to propagate it. None of this makes any sense to me. We're going to ask Dr. Mitch about this on Monday and get the real scoop.
Researchers from the University of South Carolina have discovered what numerous multiple sclerosis patients have told them from experience. The findings, published in a Journal of Biological Chemistry, note that marijuana has the potential to treat autoimmune diseases like arthritis, colitis, lupus, and multiple sclerosis. The study looked at whether THC could affect DNA expression to alter the group of molecules called histones, which regulate inflammation throughout the body. The researchers found that, indeed, THC can alter DNA to reduce inflammation, adding that healing property to a list that already includes pain relief, reducing nausea, and appetite building.
Well, yeah, like you said, you know, we could have told them this long time ago, but every time we did, they always said, well, that's just anecdotal. That's just anecdotes. That's just thousands and thousands and thousands of people with MS and lupus and arthritis and colitis that have anecdotally told us it worked. So it's good news that the scientists are finally able to pin this down and say, yes, what we've been telling them for dozens of years now is actually true.
And finally, PolitiFact Oregon agrees that marijuana is less addictive than alcohol and tobacco. The political watchdog group had targeted such statements by Representative Earl Blumenauer on his campaign website and sought to determine the truth of those assertions. PolitiFact spoke with Dr. J. Wesley Boyd, a faculty member at Harvard Medical School and a recognized expert on addiction issues, who agreed with Representative Blumenauer's statement. Dr. Boyd cited the National Institute on Drug Abuse's own figures showing 9% of pot smokers, 15% of alcohol drinkers, and 32% of tobacco smokers developed dependence on those drugs, leading PolitiFact Oregon to rate the claim true.
That's right. Marijuana is less addictive than alcohol and tobacco. And in the Radical Rant today, I'm going to take some time and talk about addiction and dependence and abuse and how these medical professionals surprisingly throw these terms around when there's a vast difference between a heroin addict and someone who might have a problem with pot. A vast difference between someone who's an alcoholic and someone who might smoke too many doobies. And we'll talk about that in the Radical Rant. Thank you, Priscilla, for all of the news today. And have yourself a great three-day weekend since we won't have a show on tomorrow.
Yeah, will do. Thanks.
All righty. All right, that horrendous school bell sound that Big Daddy Fink hates means that it's time for us to take a break. It's safety meeting time. 20 after, 4:20 out there in Colorado, so Priscilla really has to go. She's all locked and loaded, ready to go. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, behind the headlines, we're going to take a look at the idea of marijuana edibles and doobies for newbies. Stick around.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Welcome back, everyone. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And there's a great headline at Forbes.com that reads, "Is eating marijuana really riskier than smoking it?" And another headline that I want to go to is from our good friend Chris Goldstein. He's writing for Philly.com. And his headline was, "Newbies stick to doobies." And all of this is reaction to the New York Times columnist Maureen Dowd, who documented her experience with an edible candy bar, with one of these medicated candy bars in Denver. And she ate way too much of it, didn't divide it up into 16 portions like she should have or like no one told her to. And she had a terrible reaction to it. She said like 8 hours she was in a hallucinatory state, right? So this is something that's been, you know, getting some headlines as of late, as far as, you know, kids showing up to ERs with having eaten medibles, even adults who've had a bad reaction to eating too many medibles. And of course, those two high profile stories of the young man jumping to his death and the other man shooting his wife. So edibles have been in the news lately, and Forbes asks, is edible pot really any worse than the inhaled version? Or have people just discovered a new plaything that they just don't know how to work? And it's a little bit of both in this scenario here. They spoke with Carrie Franson, who's a pharmacological doctor, PhD clinical pharmacologist, and associate dean for professional education at the Department of Clinical Pharmacy at the University of Colorado Skaggs School of Pharmacy. That's a long title. Anyway, Dr. Franson says, quote, "The major difference is in the absorption of the edible product into the bloodstream. Once it is in the blood, it quickly goes to and has an effect on the brain. With smoking, the peak blood levels happen within 3 to 10 minutes. And with eating, it's 1 to 3 hours. Both are about a threefold difference, but most users are not willing to wait. Most users are willing to wait 10 minutes, but not willing to wait 3 hours before reusing." And this is something that, you know, we're going to have to really get a handle on, because when we've been educating people, we've been saying things like, well, you want to wait an hour. Well, this doctor is saying it could take up to 3 hours. So what about the person who eats, you know, a little bit and then waits an hour and then eats a whole bunch more? And then they're one of those people that's a 2 or 3 hour wait, right? This is going to be a little difficult for them. The other problem we have, and I like Chris Goldstein's take on this, newbies stick to doobies. And the idea is that edibles are for professionals, right? Edibles are for those of us who've developed a tolerance to smoking cannabis, vaporizing cannabis, and can handle, you know, a large dose, right? And it's also more for professionals in that we have some idea that eating pot can have a really heavy effect on. And we also kind of know that you have to wait for that effect. Newbies aren't going to know that so well. So it would be a lot better for newbies to stick to vaporization or to smoking a joint, right? Where they're going to get that 3 to 10 minutes before they're going to understand how high they are, and they're not going to be as likely to overdose. The only problem with that is in the state of Colorado, there's no place for the newbies to smoke the doobies. Can't smoke it in their hotel room when they come in from out of state, because all these hotels are non-smoking hotels. Can't smoke it out in public. That's subject to a $100 ticket, right? Can't go to the park, can't smoke it in public. And so far, they're not really, they're not too happy about allowing cannabis bars. I mean, they did have the symphony orchestra have its little thing where people were allowed to smoke, but this is going to make it difficult. If you want to have harm reduction, you want these people to have a better chance here, then we should allow them to have some place where they can actually smoke marijuana. It just doesn't make any sense for us to force them into edibles through the law, you know, because they can eat those in public and whatever. The other thing that we've got here is that there's a different metabolization of marijuana when you eat it versus when you smoke it. When you smoke it, it's being converted into there's a thing called THCA, which is THC acid, and that's what you get in the raw marijuana plant. That THC acid is converted to delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinol, delta-9 THC, when you smoke it. And delta-9 THC, we all know, has this psychedelic effect. But psychedelic, hallucinatory, you know, euphoric effect, whatever you want to call it. But when you eat cannabis, that THCA gets into your gut, and the enzymes in your gut convert it to 11-hydroxy-THC. 11-hydroxy-THC is a molecule that's 9 times more psychoactive than the delta-9. So even if you're someone who's used to, say, 10 milligrams of marijuana when you smoke it, 10 milligrams when you eat it can still have quite a different effect. The other thing that the doctor points out is that other food and drugs can cause interactions with the eating of marijuana. That is, if you've had a lot of food, it might take longer for that marijuana to metabolize through your body. That's where you get that 1 to 3 hour window. If you're using other drugs, they're going to compete with the THC in your liver for metabolization. So that might affect what's going on. And so when Maureen Dowd talks about sipping some Chardonnay after she's eaten the chocolate bar, well, who's to know how much of an effect that had on her metabolization of the THC? Another thing that we should take a look at is that these products that are being sold in Denver and elsewhere oftentimes have great variation from item to item and batch to batch. There was a recent study in the survey the Denver Post took of a whole bunch of these edibles from a lot of different locations over a 4-month period. And they found that a chocolate bar that's supposed to be labeled at 100 milligrams ranged from anywhere from as high as 160 milligrams to as low as 0.2 milligrams. Now, that was kind of an outlier. On the average, they were getting 60 to 100, right? Still, hard to gauge how much you're supposed to have when you can't accurately determine how much is in any labeled bar. I believe the regulatory structure needs to change on this, and we need to have better testing and better processing of these edibles so we can have a more consistent product. And the final thing that we need to understand is that these effects with edibles can last a lot longer. When you smoke marijuana, the high is going to last you maybe an hour, maybe two. But when you eat it, it can last 3 to 10 hours, which can also exacerbate these feelings of paranoia and anxiety that people get, especially newbies, when they are eating these edibles. The bottom line, according to the Forbes article, though, is that tight regulations may help somewhat, but it's also partly a matter of raising awareness, the education part. We got to teach people, you know, there's the point is made that through socialization and through our culture, we are kind of taught about drinking. We're taught about, you know, how much to have and when to have it and what's safe. And we kind of have this idea, socially speaking. This is a brand new thing. And a lot of people, there's no mores associated with it outside of the marijuana community. So there is going to be this learning curve of people understanding what edible marijuana does to them. It's going to be a regulatory curve of understanding how to label, process, and test these things. But I do believe we can get to the point where people will be able to handle their medibles. People will understand a little bit better that you can't eat the whole brownie, you can't eat the whole chocolate bar. And let's hope that day comes sooner rather than later. All right, we got to take a break. And when we come back, we'll have Sean McAllister on the line from Dallas-Fort Worth Normal. He's going to preview the Texas Normal Conference for us, taking place this weekend in Fort Worth. I'll be there with Jody Emery and Kinky Friedman. Can't wait.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the activist radio station. When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com. 420radio.org presents Daily Toker Tunes, random selections from our library here at 420radio.org, including Roots Monday, the best of blues, jazz, country, and folk, Electric Tuesday, the best in electronic dance and experimental music, Irie Wednesday, the best in reggae and world music, Groovin' Thursday, the best of rap, soul, R&B, funk, and hip-hop, and Rockin' Friday, the best in metal, jam band, and rock and roll. Every day at 2 o'clock Pacific Time on 420radio.org.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com and follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 33 after the hour, and I'm getting pretty excited. We're heading to Texas, going to the Texas Regional Normal Conference this weekend in Fort Worth. Board a plane tomorrow morning to head down there, and it's going to be an amazing event. We're reaching out to Sean McAllister, the executive director of Dallas-Fort Worth Normal, for this interview. Let's see if we can get him on the line.
.com and executive.
Nope, they're still on the message machine here. Let me see if I can get him one more time here, give him a call. But I'm sure they're quite busy down there in DFW getting ready for this conference. It'll be featuring Jody Emery, the Princess of Pot. She's going to be there, and I'm still just getting...
At IamSean.com.
Yep, still getting the recording. So we're having some trouble getting Sean McAllister on the line. Hopefully he'll be able to dial up. Let me see if I can reach him through the email. We'll send an email out and see if we can get him on the line. But I'll give you a rundown of some of the things that are going on at the Texas Regional Normal Conference. This is June 6th, 7th, and 8th. It's a three-day conference. It's taking place in Fort Worth, Texas at the Norris Conference Center. We've got two full days of activities packed with educational speakers and panels. We've got a documentary film screening. We've got 420 Jeopardy, which my little game show, parties, giveaways, and a vendor hall, and several surprises for conference attendees. The hashtag will be DFW NormalCon, And the speakers will include Texas patients, parents, politicians, activists, legal and medical professionals, and members of the media. Now, of course, we've already mentioned that I will be there this weekend, as well as Kinky Friedman. If you don't know Kinky Friedman, he's a Texas country singer and a songwriter, novelist, humorist, politician, and former columnist for Texas Monthly. He's run for governor of Texas a couple of times, and he's well known in Texas political circles. Let's see if we've got Sean on the line. Are you there, Sean?
I'm here.
Oh, fantastic. Glad to have you. I was just introducing folks to the DFW Normal Con. I'm showing them the page at dfwnormal.org, and I've mentioned myself, Kinky Friedman, and Jody Emery going to be there. Anything you'd like to say about that?
I think that I'm just really excited to have two of these important speakers and influencers in this movement, because honestly, these are names that have inspired people like me, and I think people like you, Russ, mm-hmm. to get involved with marijuana activism. People who, you know, that saw in the documentaries about marijuana way before it became as easy as it is to support marijuana legalization as it is now. And so I think it's going to be a great opportunity to expose these perspectives to our very strong cannabis community here in the North Texas area. And we're just really pleased that we have the fortunate support of a lot of local businesses and internet businesses as well, that just believe so much in what we're doing that they have contributed so generously to be able to allow us to host our very own conference yet again.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And how did you get Kinky Friedman to agree to come out to the conference?
You know, somehow we got Kinky's information. I believe we got his assistant's information. His name is Cleve, through a friend of ours over at Texas Normal. Made contact with him, and just through a slow and steady email and phone conversation, we were finally able to refine not only Kinky coming out and being involved, but also doing a private meet and greet and a signing for our conference attendees only at a restaurant that we're going to have rented out exclusively for our badge holders for the conference. And so
amazing.
It's just another little extra thing that we can give to people that want to come out and support marijuana legalization and activism efforts here in the area, just by giving them the opportunity to meet somebody iconic and have a chance to get their photo taken with them and get their poster signed by them.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And, you know, I love having Kinky Friedman there because, you know, aside from maybe Willie Nelson, he's probably the best known Texas supporter of marijuana legalization. And like you said, been doing it for a long time before it was even cool to do so. So we're looking forward to that. Jody Emery going to be there. You know, she's less than a month now before Mark Emery gets out of prison. So you might be, the Texas conference may be her last American legalization presentation, at least while Mark's still in jail.
You know, and that's just such a huge honor for us to be able to have that. And honestly, Russ, between you and me and the audience, there is a little something that we want to do for Jody while she's here in town, that just to kind of acknowledge everything that her and her family have gone through for this topic of marijuana, the liberation of cannabis.
Other speakers that will be appearing there, we got Peter Gorman, investigative journalist and former editor at High Times. What do we know about Peter? What can you tell us about Peter?
You know, he's just a world traveler who is a huge subscriber of, you know, the counterculture type lifestyle. Again, has been at this for so long. He's just got a perspective from this journalist perspective of the marijuana movement, the culture from its sort of inception all the way to where it's at now. And he's been able to really watch it and kind of write about it all this time. And I just think that he's going to be able to offer a really interesting perspective about marijuana activism and about the history of all of this stuff. And honestly, it's just kind of cool to be able to say between the two of you, Russ, we have two contributors from High Times magazine at our event. That's just, you know, that just really pleases me that we are able to brag about that little detail.
Yeah, long relationship between High Times and Normal, and glad that we can continue that. Speaking of Normal, Eric Altieri, the communications director and chapter coordinator, my old job at National Normal, he's going to be out there. He was out there at the last conference, wasn't he?
Yeah. He brought an awesome perspective from a national level that a lot of people don't ever get access to because they're only casually involved with marijuana activism. And his presentation, I think, was extremely educational, and he's going to come and give another presentation that I think is going to help open people's eyes just how much we're really winning in this fight on a national level. And I also just think, you know, personally, it's awesome to have a representative from the national chapter, you know, from D.C. come and see how DFW Bowl will host an event and just go and just be returned back to D.C. and know that that office, that just time and place inspired all this activism that's happening now. And it's just awesome to be a part of that and to have Eric and involvement from Norman, just generally speaking. We've got all these other great chapters involved as well. And it's just really an awesome coalition of normal chapters in Texas and supporting businesses and organizations for us.
Yeah, and you know, I'm seeing what seems to be normal moving away from having its own national conference and moving to having these regional conferences. And I think between you guys and Missouri probably planted that idea in their head.
Yeah, you know, we have thrown these events. I don't know how Missouri has done theirs, but I imagine it was similar in the fashion that they were kind of on their own to sort of figure it out, didn't really expect a whole lot of, you know, financial assistance from anybody, really. We were just kind of, you know, had the opportunity, had the permission to do this. And after visiting California, the conference in California, I just felt like we could do something similar that was more affordable for people and just as good, if maybe not even better. And so we just thought that, heck, we could try it ourselves. We tried it last year. It was successful. And we just knew that we could pull it off again this year since we went through all the hurdles last year. And this year was just kind of calling all those familiar businesses up and say, hey, you want to do it again? And them saying, hell yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. And the one that I was at last year was fantastic. And I knew there'd be another. And I think these regional conferences actually do our community more a better service, because if you go to a national conference and you're from Texas, well, they're going to talk about California medical marijuana and Colorado legalization and all that, and it's like, what about Texas, man? So speaking about what about Texas, you got Rob Campia, the executive director for Marijuana Policy Project there. He is now a Texan.
He certainly is. You know, it was funny when we kind of secretly heard the news sometime last year that Rob Campia was going to be moving to Austin. We all just kind of high-fived ourselves because we knew that represented a major play in our minds, a major play by one of the most well-respected and powerful organizations in this movement to invest in Texas. And we just knew that we were onto something special when we heard that news. And we're very pleased to have Rob, as well as Heather from she's the Texas political director at MPP now. Heather Fazio, being able to have the involvement of both of them in this conference, I think just really rounds this out. So it's not just a grassroots effort. We're seeing this, you know, legal and lobby perspective as well that just gives people all sorts of additional information and ammunition when they're out having these cannabis conversations with the few people who still need to be convinced on this topic.
Yeah, and it's becoming fewer and fewer people, even in places like Texas. We're speaking with Sean McAllister from Dallas-Fort Worth Normal. They're putting on the Texas Regional Normal Conference this weekend, June 6th through 8th in Fort Worth, Texas. You can find out more at dfwnormal.org. Tickets are just $50 for 3 days. And you get a discount if you're a college student, a senior citizen, a veteran, or a normal member. But they're not cumulative, right?
That's correct. You get one discount.
So like, if you're a senior college student veteran who's in a normal chapter, you don't get four discounts.
Well, you know, if somebody does have all this qualification, I would entertain that idea.
Yeah? Oh, okay. All right. If you're all four, talk to Sean. He'll get you extra super special secret discount.
Yeah, I'm going to ask for proof and a secret handshake.
There we go. Now, in our news segment today, we had a great piece of news coming out of the Texas GOP, where their Republican Party platform committee is talking about endorsing medical use of marijuana as part of the Republican platform for Texas. And you've got Ann Lee, the founder of Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition. She was just talking about founding this when I saw her at the Baker Institute in 2012, and now it's apparently a full-fledged thing. She'll be there.
She will be there, and it was no coincidence that we chose this weekend for our conference. You know, the GOP convention happening right before ours, it just creates all these opportunities for us to interact with these people who we may not have ever had access to otherwise.
Yeah.
And so having Ann Lee, she gave amazingly compelling testimony from what I have been told during this session. And, you know, yesterday when my phone rang, and a man named Colton explained to me that he was calling from the convention. He was a delegate. He's in his 20s, and he believes that this topic it has reached a point where it has now changed in this discussion that these guys are having behind closed doors. And he told me, he was like, you know, Sean, what can we do to get some normal involvement in here? You know, I can't just let you guys come in and, you know, have the speaker, have the microphone for 5 minutes or anything like that. But what can we do, Sean? What can we do to get some influence in here? Because I feel like this group of people is finally ripe for change. And we talked a little bit. We are coordinating a bit of an effort that's going to go on Friday to kind of crash the party as professionally and respectfully as we can. We've got some parents and some patients that are going to go out there and try to softly influence these delegates. But really, man, it just represented this opportunity, he said, for it to really change for the Republican Party here in Texas. And he let me go, and he went back into session. And a couple hours later, he called me back and told me his news, and he couldn't believe it. He was dumbstruck. And it just felt like this historic moment. And you want to know what really sealed the deal for me, Russ?
Yeah.
His name is Colton Hemphill.
Colton Hemphill. All right.
Colton Hemphill. Oh, man.
From Hempstead, yeah. Right?
Yeah, you can't write this stuff. It's got to just happen.
That's amazing. Now, of course, the GOP talking about tiptoeing up to medical marijuana, but what about recreational marijuana? I keep saying that there's got to be a state that breaks through with recreational first, that doesn't take the step to medical. It goes right to recreational. Do you think that's possible for Texas?
I think that's very possible for Texas. And I got to say, you and your voice, Russ, is one of the reasons it's possible. The influence that you brought to the movement through your show reached me, it reached the people of Texas, and we have taken that idea and we stand strong by the idea of legalizing not only the whole plant, but legalizing it for recreational use, because nobody can honestly say that any medical marijuana laws protect 100% of patients. You know, you drilled that idea into me so long ago, Russ, that I've just been able to make sure that we never stop talking about that around here. And so because of that, because of all the states who are so far ahead of us in terms of their laws, I feel like Texas has been able to watch this whole thing unfold. And I think that maybe, just maybe, we can be the state that does take that just first big step and say, hey, we don't need to have the baby step of medical marijuana. That's just too confusing. Let's just legalize it. And let's have a regulated system so we can ensure patients who need it get it, and it stays out of the hands of kids as much as it can.
Yeah, I applaud you for that. And, you know, I think one of the things that might help in Texas is to point out that, you know, I talked to a lot of cops all around the country. And when I talk to them in medical marijuana states, they often say, make it legal or make it illegal. But this halfway in between makes everybody's jobs tougher. Right. And so maybe we can sell it that way by telling, you know, hey, let's make things easier on our Texas cops to go after murderers and illegal immigrants and whatever else they got to go after, and not have them trying to figure out who's sick enough to keep out of a cage.
Yeah, that's not the job of the police officer. The police officer needs to have very clear laws that he's trying to enforce. And he needs to be able to understand that, well, I'm not going to stop and hassle this person because they walked by me and smelled like a little bit of burnt weed. You know, he just needs to be able to know that he can go about his day and find a real criminal to fight.
That's right.
And that's what's beautiful about here, our movement here in Texas, is we're so not anti-cop. We've been just trying to be very friendly and open with the police since the very beginning. They've been at our events that we've openly consumed cannabis at, Russ. When we had our march at the Global Marijuana March, we had over 2,000 Texans marching through the streets, breaking the law in public, smoking marijuana, and nobody got arrested.
That's beautiful.
That can happen one day a year, why can't it happen all days?
Yeah.
And we're going to continue to walk up to that line as often as we can here at BSW Normal and point out that there's a line, point out the line that's totally unnecessary, and just try to get that line out of the damn way so we can have some more freedom.
We have a question from our chat room that asks, with everything being bigger in Texas, is that also true of cannabis plants?
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to comment on the size of my friend's potential or not existing grows at this time on an internet radio station. All the laws are just not in our favor here in the state of Texas. But I can say this, there are so many people that have been making moves here in Texas, investing business-wise, buying up plots of land, buying up all sorts of resources, making relationships, and they are setting themselves up for a legal marijuana market of some kind. Big names, influential people here in the Metroplex that I have no proof of, that I've just heard rumors that they're secretly making their own moves, investing in this or that. And so I just think that here in Texas, we could eventually see the biggest marijuana plants in the world once we get it legalized.
All right, let's work toward that. And before we let you go, it's not all work. We do a lot of play when we do these conferences as well. Tell us about some of the social events.
So I like to say that our events here at DSW Normal should feel like a little bit of Colorado now that it's legal, because people come out and they just, quite frankly, just enjoy themselves. It is a free-spirited type of atmosphere. The police have not ever really been trying to crack down on DSW Normal. I think it's because we've always had a respectful relationship with them. And, you know, we just do our events. We're not hassled. You know, occasionally we spot somebody who is probably an undercover law enforcement officer. And there may or may not be people breaking the law right in front of them, and they don't do anything. They just want to ensure that we're, I guess, I don't know, staying safe like they probably want to in the first place. They don't want to enforce these laws, in my opinion, for the most part. And so these social events gives people an opportunity to kind of get out of their house, come out to a real business, a venue, listen to some bands that are awesome, interact with people who are of like mind, you know, get to know each other and feel empowered to come out and be public in support of their marijuana activism, because we shouldn't be ashamed of this anymore. And our events just give people that opportunity to come and be loud and proud Texas tokers.
All right. Well, you Texas tokers, get on the web at dfwnormal.org. You can get a 3-day pass for $50 or less if you're a student, a veteran, a normal member, or there was one other college student. What'd I get there? There's another one in there. Senior citizen, there you go. Senior citizen, veteran, yep. Normal members, and college students get a discount on the $50 ticket. And it starts Friday night, 7 o'clock, at Froggy's Boathouse in Fort Worth. That was the one we were at the last Friday, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. That's the one that's got the sandy beach and the volleyball court.
Oh, yeah, volleyball courts, and a good time was had by all. So that'll go 7 to midnight. The Saturday event is 7 to midnight at the Red Goose Saloon in Fort Worth. And the Sunday event, 7 to midnight, Reggae Madness in Fort Worth as well. The conference days, Saturday and Sunday, run from 8:30 in the morning to 6:30 at night. So we'll be going from 8:30 till midnight and having a good time while we do it.
You're damn right we will, Russ. You know how we did it last year. It's going to be even better this year.
All right. Looking forward to it. It's Sean McAllister from DFW Normal. It's dfwnormal.org and the second annual Texas Regional Normal Conference. I will see you at the airport tomorrow, Sean.
Hope's the word, Russ. We're looking forward to it.
All right. I am too. Going to be a good time in Texas. And let's make sure Texas is the first state to legalize and bypass medical altogether. Thanks, Sean. All right, when we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant. Are you a marijuana addict? Find out right after this.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the home of marijuana experts. Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
The Statistics show that 40% of all kids who smoke marijuana live in the city. Guess where the other 60% live?
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. New Approach Oregon is a coalition of Oregon citizens who believe that treating marijuana use as a crime has failed, costing taxpayers millions in law enforcement resources. Our approach will regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana for adults in Oregon. We can move Oregon forward and create new revenue for critical services. Visit our website at newapproachoregon.com or our page on Facebook at New Approach Oregon. Thank you.
You can't handle the truth.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
Homosexuality.
Down the centuries, you have slurred the meaning of the words "we the people."
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question: do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 56 after the hour, so this rant is going to have to extend into hour two. I surely don't have enough time to cover all of this. I know, don't call you Shirley. But I'm asking the question, just what is marijuana addiction? I saw a paper come across today as I was doing my news research that claimed to be a new study just released by the National Institute of Drug Abuse. And this is in the New England Journal of Medicine. And it claims that marijuana can be addictive, harmful, and a gateway drug. That's a quote. Addictive, harmful, and a gateway drug. And I don't know exactly where they're coming up with this information, but the lead author of the report is Dr. Nora Volkoff. She is also the head of the National Institutes of Drug Abuse, the staffing and budget of which would be severely curtailed if marijuana were legalized nationwide. Now, would that lead to a conflict of interest for Dr. Volkoff's impartiality and scientific detachment when it comes to weed? Well, you be the judge, dear listener. Volkoff's latest report claims, quote, approximately 9% of those who experiment with marijuana will become addicted. The number goes up to about 1 in 6 among those who start using marijuana as teenagers, and 20 to 50% for those who smoke marijuana daily. Ooh, scary stuff. But you know, whenever I read a statistic with a range like 25 to 50% of something, I'm immediately doubtful of its veracity. Add to that my own personal experiences of watching my dad try to kick booze, speed, and cigarettes, and I think I've got a pretty good idea what addicted means. And as one of the people who smoke marijuana daily, either I'm that 50 to 75% who didn't get addicted, or Dr. Volkoff is stretching the meaning of addiction to daily marijuana use, which makes it a tautology. Now, these marijuana addiction statistics are based on criteria that psychologists use to categorize mental illness. And when we come back in hour two, we're going to talk about that. We're going to get into what is the scientific criteria to diagnose someone with marijuana dependence or marijuana abuse, because this is the source of those statistics that they're using to try to scare people about marijuana addiction. We're going to show you why marijuana addiction is very, very, very rare. Not 9% of the people, like Dr. Nora Volkoff and NIDA like to say it is. We'll cover that in the second part of the Radical Rant at the beginning of Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. Toker Talk Radio is available live at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and replays at 4 a.m. and 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. You can also get it on demand at 420radio.org, but only if you're a VIP member. If you want to be a VIP member and catch our Hour 2 replays, then you just need to sign up at 420radio.org and look for VIP memberships. You can join for as little as $4.20 a month. That's all the time we got for Hour 1. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
For Priscilla Seibin, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. You take a scene, you manage, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a scene, you manage.